Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We bring in our good friend from John Boy Media, the pride of Northeast Ohio, and you know him and love him from the NFL Network, and he calls games on television during the preseason when it comes to the Browns. He is Chris Rose on the Fan Hotline. Hello, Christopher. How are you?
What's up, Chris?
Happy holidays, gentlemen.
Happy holidays to you.
To you as well, and the family.
All right, you in California for the holidays, or what's the scoop?
We are here. Yes, we are here. It's very nice. Everybody will be together, so that's all good. Go over to the in-laws, have fun, watch the Cavs tomorrow, a whole bit.
Good win by the Cavs yesterday. We didn't get a chance to dig too deep into that one. It's nice to see them starting to turn this thing around.
Yeah, I mean, Sam Merrill definitely makes a difference. Just having a guy out there that can shoot and is always a threat, and I think it's going to get better when Strus returns. That's why I just don't want – like, it's hard not to panic because they were so good and so efficient last year, and it's been the exact opposite this season. I mean, I've watched 95% of the games, and it's just – you know, it hasn't been pretty, but I would like to see it when it's all together. So before I make any sort of judgment, which is nice because it's not like the trade deadline is tomorrow.
No, I think you speak the words of most Cavalier fans right now too. So I think we're all kind of at the same point. And you get to Christmas, then I think you start worrying about what's going on with the NBA a little bit more. I know last year was exciting at the beginning of the year, but it's like, okay, let's take a deep breath. We've been down this road before and see what they look like when they're healthy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think we're on the same page.
I just want to see him get to the basket a little bit more. That's my only thing, and it's starting to seem like more and more guys are like, all right, let's start getting to the cup.
They did it last night, though.
Line. Yeah, you're starting to see that come around a little bit, but in the beginning, it was so three-point heavy, and it felt like they were trying to, like, I don't want to say avoid contact, but you didn't see those guys cutting as much as they should be.
All right, Chris.
No, I mean, they look good. It's against two not great teams, and probably tomorrow is going to be a tough one because the Knicks have been playing well, and that's three games in 4 days, including travel and a noon tip. I don't expect a win, but we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, the schedule looks tough moving up down the road for the Cavs. So, let me get in the Browns with you, my friend. So listen, like as we watch these last two games, what do you need to see out of Shedeur Sanders to maybe say to yourself, all right, he is the guy for next year. He should be the starter when we go into the season next year.
I don't know. And that's the roughest thing I can say. I imagine there are a lot of Browns fans that are like me, and I am taking out the people who back Shedeur regardless of what happens. It's never his fault, and there's a group that will always blame Shedeur even if it isn't his. So I'm taking those people out. So I'm playing like I'm trying to hit the fairway here with my, you know, with my analysis and assessment, because all I care about, I'm not a hater if I don't think that he plays well, and I'm not a Shedeur lover if I'm saying, hey, that guy probably should have caught that pass. I care about trying to find the best Browns quarterback, and to me, it's the only question that we need to answer is he going to be better than either of the two quarterbacks who the Browns might have a chance to take? And that's it. That's the only question, because there's nobody else. Like, I don't think we're going to trade for a Mac Jones. And there aren't ever any quarterbacks that are available, really, for the most part. It's been, you know, three or four veterans over the last 15 years. I mean, I'm talking about Brady and Manning, who handpicked the places they wanted to go. Kirk Cousins was available, but you're talking about a guy who's 36 at the time of free agency, right? So there aren't a lot of guys. Could you make a trade for someone? I suppose you could, but we're not in a position anymore to really make a trade with as many holes as we've got. So the question is he going to be better than a Heisman Trophy winner in Indiana, or a guy who started one season at Oregon? And that's the only question you have to answer as far as the quarterback. That's it. I don't care about the stuff. Well, he's definitely better than Dylan Gabriel. Got it. Check that box. That's not what I'm looking for. Well, he's put up better statistics last week than Jackson Dart. Don't care about that. He's not available to us. So that's irrelevant too. Like, those aren't the things that we should be discussing and arguing and saying this and that. And hey, look, Josh Allen only went 17 to 30 for a buck. Don't care about that stuff. That is all irrelevant. It's just so the people can get all huffy and puffy so that they can make their arguments and yell at the top of their lungs and get more clicks. That crap does not register. Is he better than the two guys who are available at the draft? And I can't answer that after two more games necessarily. I have to talk to people that I trust. I have to talk to people that talk to these kids to see where their heads are at. And then I'll make a final assessment.
Chris, when you talk to the people you trust, what are you hearing now?
What I hear is that Mendoza, really bright, can make a lot of throws, obviously is exceptional late in the game. They're worried about his ceiling, and they're worried about how his dorkiness will play in an NFL locker room. Now, with that being said, Kirk Cousins is kind of along the same ilk of that and has been beloved by teammates for the most part throughout his career. I'm not going to say every teammate has loved him, but a lot of guys I've talked to who have played with him have really liked him and have dealt with that. Dante Moore, it's a one-year start thing. Really bright, good kid, like exceptional kid is what you hear about him. But, you know, guys who have had a one-year starting don't have a great track record in this league. That is a big swing you're taking, and that's a risk. I don't know how we'll all feel. Like, I guess I'm fortunate I'm not making the decision, but I just want to make sure the right guys are and women are making their decision here.
Chris Rose joining us on the Fan Hotline. You can watch him on the NFL Network. And then also John Boy Media, Baseball Today, as things are going on, as the hot stove slowly bubbles as well. He'll give you the updates there. How stable do you think the ground is that Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry are standing on?
Well, I think for Kevin, it's probably not great. Hard to run away from a record, since that's the only thing we judge you by in when it comes to coaching circles for the most part. With Andrew, you know, I mean, I've heard what Mary Kay has said on this station, and I understand that. Look, you can't erase what has gone on prior to this draft. You just can't. What are the two biggest areas of need on this team? Let's put the quarterback situation kind of in its own area.
O-line, wide receiver.
Okay, how has he done there?
Hasn't.
He has done. He hasn't done well. I'll answer it for you.
Right,
he has not done well. The best offensive lineman he's drafted is Jed Wills. And it's not particularly close, actually, right? James Hudson, Luke Whipler, Nick Harris, Zach Zinter, DeJuan Jones. That's not a great group. In fact, none of them received a second contract with the team as of yet. What's the second area where he's had troubles? Wide receiver. Cedric Tillman, Anthony Schwartz, David Bell, DPJ was the best. Actually, the best thing he ended up doing was making a trade for Amari Cooper, and Elijah Moore was serviceable at times, but not great. We ended up getting the third, which turned into Tillman, and we ended up giving up a second to the Jets, which they used in spinning the Aaron Rodgers deal. So the two areas of weakness are because he has whiffed so significantly. I don't know, guys. I don't know. I mean, this is a huge draft coming up. One way I am looking at it here is after this weekend, if we lose, then we're going to have the second pick in the draft, okay? Because somebody's going to win that game, between the Raiders and the Giants. I think somebody will win it. And so we could have the second pick in the draft, which means that some quarterback needy team, whether it's the Raiders who fall behind us or the Jets who stay behind us, are going to have to trade up. And we might have the opportunity to even get more ammunition. Like, if we make a trade with the Jets, they have got gobs of first-round picks because of the trades they made with Dallas and Indianapolis. So we could really load up if we're comfortable with Shador. And it's just you need to make the right picks. It's not one thing to have all the picks, because that doesn't matter. Teams in their 20s, the Rams have drafted great, and hell, they went 9 years without a first-round pick. Look at the guys they've drafted on defense in the second and third rounds as of late. You have to have the right people making the picks. And I'll leave it at that.
Do you believe Stefanski and Barry are a package deal? Or are they separate?
I don't think so anymore. I think heading into this year it was possible. I'm not so sure where we stand with that now. I don't understand why Andrew did not do a mid-season press conference. I was disappointed in that. I would like to have heard some things. So I don't know where that stands. I'll be honest with you. Don't know.
I'm just wondering where they go with this front office for next year. I can see an argument on every side why you might keep them, why you would let them go, why you might split them. This has been like one of the most ambiguous, maybe is the best word to use here, as we head towards the stretch run of trying to figure out what's going to happen in the future and not having anything solid.
Yeah, listen, guys, I think we're all very confused, and it's okay to be confused. It's just we have, as a fan base, we have been searching for answers for decades. We have had coaches go one and done. We've had evaluators leave less than a half season into a year, right? Long live George Kokinas. Like, it's just, we've had a lot of weird stuff happen organizationally. And now that we've gotten some semblance of continuity, it's like, well, maybe we could just work our way through this. The Deshaun era did not work out the way we'd hoped, and maybe we can still figure it out. Like, it is all confusing, even when it comes to the quarterback situation. Like, we look and see what we want to see out of Shador. Like, that's an amazing throw. I can't believe the receiver dropped that. Or he makes an amazing play and his legs have been better than anticipated. And, you know, is he reading defenses? Well, no. I see this clip on social media where it says he's not. And this clip on social media where it says, yeah, and listen to him in the post-game press conference talking about a dig. And here, it's confusing as hell for all of us. It really is. I get it.
All right, Chris, real quick on your other gig for the guards front. Is it? I mean, Stuart Fairchild? You excited?
He's fine. I think I shout out the name Austin Hayes, and I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's too rich. Like, I did bring up Rob Refsnyder, and I'm not sure that you guys saw that he signed with Seattle.
I did see that.
A bit over $6 million. And I was like, boy, when he signed for $6 million, I knew that wasn't happening. We don't pay full-time players $6 million. I do think that this organization has to have all I can ever think about when we're signing the Stuart Fairchilds of the world is how pissed off Jose Ramirez must be. I mean, what was the conversation he had 3+ years ago, almost 4 now, when he signed that extension? What was it? Did they guarantee him that we will spend more money? Is he constantly getting updated? Hey, listen, dude, things have changed for us. So we can't – right now, only the Marlins have spent less money, I think, on payroll, and they just signed Pete Fairbanks to a pretty rich deal today. So, like, we could end up going into the season, based on what the Pirates have done this offseason and a few other teams, with the lowest payroll, and that includes having – a guy like Jose Ramirez on your team. That's a kick in the onions, folks. That's tough.
Ay.
Chris. Cattell Marte. Let's just speak it into the universe and hope that they listen. That's all I've got left.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe Chris Antonetti hears us.
We'll see about that.
That's all
Chris,
I've got.
To you and your family, have a fantastic holiday and a happy new year, and we will talk to you soon. Thank you for being a part of the show all year long, too, my friend.
You got it, gang. Happy holidays to all of your listeners. in my hometown, which I love and miss a ton. And it's okay. We are going to get through this. As I mentioned, for the 976,138th time, we are all going to get through this.
Thanks, Chris. Talk to you later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. Dan Menigan is in. Hanging out here for a couple more seconds before we take the holiday off. Tomorrow, AFC North standings, as you know them and love them. The Steelers are sitting in first place at 9-6. The Ravens are second with a 7-8 record. The Bengals follow with a 5-10 record. And the Browns, you know, at 3-12. So, unfortunately, we picked a bad season to have a bad season, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Boy, if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that the Ravens would be on the outside looking in, I think we all would have looked at you like you were nuts.
And they're done if the Packers can beat them on, what, Saturday night?
Yeah,
they're so toast. It doesn't really matter because then now you're looking at 7-9, and that means the Steelers will have clinched the AFC North before they even walk into the stadium on Sunday, which makes for an interesting game. Now, if the Ravens can beat the Packers, then that puts a little bit of heat. And then,
Wouldn't be shocking.
No,
the Packers are wounded right now. And they are limping.
You'd be looking at you'd be looking at 8-8 Ravens team going up against a Steelers team that would be 9-6. If for some reason the Browns could pull it off, now they would turn and be what? They would be 9-7 after that. And so,
Yeah, they are.
And then they play each other last week.
Yes, they do, and that would probably be your Sunday night game.
Yeah, that would be. I would watch it. I mean, especially, but you know, again, it's about this, and I know I touched on it for a second about having your stadium overrun by the other team. Tell me, what is it when I say that to you? I know, like Jeff doesn't get into this stuff. Jeff does like doesn't care. When I say this to Jeff, sometimes I'd be like, you know, I hate going to the stadium when I know it's going to be all Steelers fans, or I hate going to the stadium when I know it's going to be all Bills fans. But I there's got to be some passion for your team there to know that your team is so out of it and the other team is so in it that their team is going to make the two-hour plus drive to take over your stadium. And this becomes their house. And nothing aggravates me more than that.
It's the ultimate message that I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore.
By your own fans?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what it is. It's the only message that a fan base can truly send to ownership is to be in a situation where the other team is taking over your stadium. Or it's half empty with the other team with a bunch of it in there. I mean, that is the only real control a fan base has over what is taking place with a team. I mean, if anything, yeah, it's as a fan, it's a kick in the shorts. But at the same point, you look at it, you're like, I get it. They're mad as hell. There's nothing you can really do about
it. Are they, or do they not care anymore? As everyone said, people call all the time, we go, apathy is set in, man. No one really cares. And the only reason you're watching now is to see if Shador can get a little bit better and see if Miles can get the sack.
That's a slap in the face of the organization as well. Your entertainment is apathy. I mean, if that isn't the ultimate slap in the face. I mean, all of this falls under the same category. It falls under the same umbrella. It's more to me a message to the powers that be that what is taking place is unacceptable and it needs to change. Because if you want to see brown and orange inside of that stadium, the way you see brown and orange inside of that stadium is to give people a reason to watch it and give people a reason that they're looking around going, well, I could either pay, you know, $200 for tickets, or I could sit at home and watch it on TV, or I can just not watch it. Like, you need to give people a reason that they're like, yes, here's my money. Let's go. We got to be a part of this.
But it's still Brown Steelers. Like, I love when the players get the question. You know, I sure got this question yesterday, right? You know it's the Steelers. You know what that means to the fans, right? And well, he gave a pretty good answer. He's like, every game means something.
Yeah.
Especially now when you're in, you know, in his shoes.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought those were hard questions for players. Like, you need to understand your history and all, a little bit of the history and all that kind of stuff. But at the same point, these guys are all kind of, you know, independent contractors. You know, I've always kind of felt bad when they get those questions because, like, yeah, it's a big deal. We want to take down those guys. I mean, they are a division opponent. They are a division, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I don't think outside of like Denzel Ward, mm-hmm. has the backing and understanding of all of a Herald fan, and I think has a chunk of it, you know, as well. Mike Hall would maybe another one that you would circle who would understand how, you know, long this rivalry goes back. But I always feel bad when like Shador Sanders gets that question. He's probably looking around going like,
I don't know. I haven't been here that long. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
Grew up in Texas. I don't know. What do you want me to do? Like, it's always, you know, and I understand the reason you ask it, but like, I always kind of are like, oh man, this poor guy doesn't understand like how long this goes back and how much true, you know, a sports hatred more than anything else that goes into it.
Yeah, I get it. I wonder how our fans still feel, especially as you walk into this. You walk into this game and you're trying to figure out, you know, hey, is this my team? I think that most Browns fans in the back of their mind will always say, oh, this is my team. I get it. I understand it. Bad year. Another bad year. Wait till next year. Are we not the city of wait till next year?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, it's – they've got to figure this out and get a turnaround. I mean, it just is – this is such a – and we even with this one where we borderline saw it coming, this is such a slog. I mean, I feel bad. I want to be upbeat. I want to be fun.
I do too.
And here's the thing. I think the fun part that you circle throughout the entire thing is that every single game, Shador Sanders gives you about three or four throws that you're like, damn, okay.
I'm in.
Let's go.
All right. Don't need to draft a quarterback.
Right. And that's what you want. I want those 3 to 4 throws where every game I can look at and get excited about that and circle. And I hope we see those against the Steelers, against those veteran corners that you could get and against those defensive linemen, which you could get after as well. Like, that's the stuff that I'm looking for in this is give me those 3 to 4 throws that are like, okay. And don't turn around and give me the 3 to 4 throws / sacks that you're like, oh, good golly, what are you looking at? What are you doing? You can't escape out of the back of the pocket like that, bud. You got to get the ball out. Like, make those like 2 of those and 4 to 5, like, all right. That's all I'm asking for Shador in this game. If that starts going in the right direction, it makes that decision a lot simpler. If the quarterback's on the roster, it helps team building so much.
Ryan is in North Olmsted. Hi, Rhino.
What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Menigan, Andy. Hey, just want to chime in, obviously, what you guys were discussing a little bit about the stadiums being overrun by opposition fan bases. Obviously, Andy, you and I know that did not happen last year with the Steelers. Mm. They came into our stadium and they thought, you know, they were just going to overrun us. And obviously our Browns fans showed up, even though we were completely out of it. Same thing. The biggest one ever was Ohio State Northwestern last year. I'm not exaggerating. Wrigley Field, man, there was 98% Ohio State fans there compared to maybe 2% Northwestern fans. And ironically, some of them are my family members from Northwestern. Anyway, but first off, go Northwestern tomorrow. My first cousin's playing for him. The Browns in particular, man, it's just unique scenario. Obviously, it's a horrible scenario we're running into, but it's a perfect storm of what we had planned out, which was obviously to showcase that we still have a stout defense. We have something to look forward to next year. We just need growth on the offense. We need our second string quarterback. I think we found it. So again, there's some growth obviously going on with the offense. Same time, there's so much needed, man. And there's still a lot to be played out with the rest of the season for the NFL, obviously, and our position, obviously, with the draft. I call it playing to get to the Super Bowl, and then there's the scenario we're playing to get to the Toilet Bowl, which is obviously the NFL draft. And again, we're winning it, I think, as humorous as it sounds. But again, there's a unique scenario with obviously Sanders. I think a lot of people are cheering for him. I just feel that he's just that second stringer, man. He's going to be long-term. And the problem with him will be, I think he'll be equivalent to hypothetically like a Terrell Owens, where he's not going to like the fact that he's going to be sitting at second string. Not saying Terrell was, I'm saying he didn't get the ball, but he's just one of those guys that says, man, if I'm not starting, I want out. So that's the other conundrum we're probably going to be running into next year. So if we do get our starting quarterback, hypothetically in the NFL draft or free agency, I don't know what Sanders is going to do, because he's not going to like the fact that he's not starting.
But we don't know. I mean, look, what if Deshaun's starting next year? There's a possibility that happens too.
Oh my God.
Don't do that to us.
I'm just saying.
Come on, man. Oh. What is he going to, is he getting paid $80 million next year? Is that what I heard? Is that the last portion of his contract?
Something along those lines. Yeah.
That is sick money for a guy who literally is just sitting somewhere holding a clipboard or just on his lazy boy chair watching the games. But I digress on that, man. There's still a lot going forward good with the Browns. You know, the NFL season's still at hand. We got the NFL draft coming up. So good things are coming. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Anyway, guys, good show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Happy holidays, guys.
Right back at you.
Enjoy all the holidays.
Yeah, when you look at overthecap.com, Deshaun is looking at $80 million.
Yep.
46 guaranteed, 34.7 prorated signing bonus.
Yep.
And do they stretch that out over the next 2 years?
So that'll be the question, is do they re-sign him to some kind of a renegotiation of the salary where they turn some of it in and then just kick the can down the road a little bit and make it less, maybe figure out something else, or do they just eat it? And I have no idea what's going to happen, though I do have to say, on stuff that'll make me feel good and you feel sick,
yeah,
I believe you will owe me a lunch.
Oh, if what? He's on the roster after?
No, my friend. You said he was going to start this year. I said he would not start.
I thought
this year
would get at least one start this year.
And I believe you owe me a lunch at some point.
Is the paperwork done, or when do they have? They had to do the paperwork by yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah. MK, I was going to say, MK, your ruling. I think that means the paperwork is done. I think I get a lunch.
All right, we'll talk about it. I didn't say it was going to be a good lunch.
Oh no,
it might be a personal pan pizza.
You can go get me a hot
steakhouse.
I did not say steakhouse.
I distinctly heard steakhouse.
I'm
the official records keeper, and I heard steakhouse.
Yeah, you need to get your ears cleaned, because I never once said steakhouse.
As I said, you can
maybe get, for me coming back at me.
You can get me a hot dog from up the street. I don't care.
It's probably
it's just a lunch.
You know, that's how I rule. He's Dan Madigan. I'm Andy Baskin. Baskin and Phelps. Jeff is off today. He'll be back, soon? I don't even know when he's going to be back. Maybe we'll tell you when he's coming back when we come back after the break. Again, just your thoughts on the Steelers there. A couple other things I want to talk about as we wrap things up for the rest of the show and get ready for the big holiday. And are you ready? That's a big question, too. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3. The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.